Mac, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Gertrude's at the BMA. That's Baltimore Museum of Art. Come on by. It's free. It's cool. It's awesome. You know, when I came here with the Coen sisters in fifth grade, it was like a stuffy, you know, sort of,
yeah,
you know, it was 1978,
been
you know.
More modernized. Yeah.
Now I come in here, there's like pop art in the, beautiful stuff here. Dan Show is here. Dan Rogers is my co-host, guest friend. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the gingerbread snaps. These really do smell like gingerbread. The peppermint payout, I'm not sure about. We have the unwrap the cash tickets that do not smell like Christmas trees. These are not... I call them sniffers on the air in front of the executive director of the Maryland Lottery. Still trying to work myself backwards from that. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare, putting us on the road. We're going to have three different kinds of crab cakes here at Gertrude's today. John Shields is going to be here. Councilwoman Odette Ramos, who tipped me off about the vegan crab cake here. It's made with zucchini, so we're going to sample that. I sampled some fried oysters and a salad and some cream of crab soup.
Oyster po' boy. The oyster po' boy was quite good.
I bet it is.
Yes, sir.
Baltimore, You Have No Idea is the play. I loved it last year on opening night. I kissed Dan's butt last year on the crab cake tour down at Fadley's. Told him, you need to do it again for my friends. So I'm bringing folks here next week and some of my sponsors, Fadley's Royal Farms. We're going to take care of a lot of people we love, my family, my son, people who love Baltimore, Baltimore Positive, my sponsors. So we're doing that.
Good.
We're done with that. Go watch the segments on Eric Bogosian. By the way, I have a gift for you before you leave, too. Baltimore and the future and the things you write about and the David Bramble project and the tie-up with the Orioles money. I put a picture up that somebody shared last week from 1972. Hmm. It's an aerial from, as opposed to an aerier, an aerial photo southbound from what looks to be the top of like 100 East Pratt right now, like literally down Light Street to the harbor.
Right.
It is all brown dirt. The Hyatt, the only thing that you can see that's still recognizable would have been the News American building.
Right.
Right.
On Pratt Street.
And McCormick, that had a McCormick sign upon
Light Street.
And on the other side, the church on the back end of where I lived off of Lee Street.
Yeah.
And Federal Hill as a very... like it looks like green grass. It doesn't even look like it has cannons on it or anything. Like, you know, the touristy guy. It was an empty pallet, and I said, 50 years later, in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, having lived here and you made a home here, what they built down there really worked.
Yeah. Well, the time you're talking about is the time right after urban renewal, when the city decided to condemn and clear away all the old wharfs, the old industrial waterfront of Baltimore in the immediate downtown around the Inner Harbor. So that's why, and it looked like that for a long time.
And they said, what are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
Did it look like a mechanic? Because I know you've been on that. It was empty for a long, long time.
Yes, right. It was actually a public park called Sam Smith Park. It was a statue of, I think it was General Sam Smith, and that statue was later moved to Federal Hill, but it was a public park for a long time, and they had the city fair there for several years. Schaefer became mayor in 71, and during that period, they were trying to bring people downtown.
In the mid-70s, a city fair, 74, 5, 6, 7, before you got here, right?
I believe it started in the 60s and carried into the 70s, and that was the location of it. And then in 1978, Schaefer was mayor, and James Rouse, who was the developer of Columbia, they proposed doing something there other than just a public park. So Rouse proposed Harbor Place, which was a waterfront mall, right, with two pavilions, Light Street and Pratt Street. A lot of people were opposed to it because they liked the open space. They liked the fact that the waterfront was an open place for the public. But Schaefer felt you got to bring people downtown because people are fleeing. You know, we had a lot of white flight from Baltimore during the 60s and early 70s, and you had to bring people downtown. But there was a fight over Harbor Place, and it actually went out to referendum. The voters had to decide whether to give up public space, a public park, for a development. And it did pass. About 100,000 people voted. It passed by about 16,000-17,000 votes in 1978. And then that gave Rouse the opportunity to go ahead and develop Harbor Place. But he had to leave most of that place open as parkland. That was the condition of the referendum that passed. So there's a little bit of Harbor Place history. I have some.
Well,
of
they didn't build on every little nugget of space down there, and I think they used that space pretty wisely.
Right, right. I mean, science center. They built
science center, an aquarium, and a shopping area, and a field that people have had a lot of fun, and like the Rusty Scupper, and just that whole basin literally came to life. And I've seen the picture from 50 years ago where it was a blank palette. Right,
right, right.
I don't know that it's a blank palette now, but it certainly, it has some footprints of other things from whatever the Renaissance Mall was.
I'm glad you're mentioning this, because a lot of people miss a point about Harbor Place. I mean, I think it outlived its usefulness. I don't know that you need it now, because so much you don't need it now, but there's so much that's grown up in Baltimore since then. Think about it. I mean, Camden Yards is another example of something that wasn't there when Harbor Place opened. The aquarium only opened a year after Harbor Place.
All the money going to Harbor East as well. All the Four Seasons.
That's another thing that no one expected. No one expected Harbor East to happen like it did. That's that waterfront. That whole area is like a city within a city, right? And then now you have Harbor Point, where there's still construction going on there. None of this happened. None of this was there. I mean, Harbor Point was Allied Chemical. Harbor East was John Patarakis' parking lot for H&S bakery trucks. That's all that was down there, right? So a lot has happened since Harbor Place got things cooking. And it outlived its usefulness. It also had terrible management for many years. So removing it now is a good idea. Replacing it with what Bramble proposes, that's another question for the public to decide.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him on the show, and I've talked to other people, but I want to talk to him. I'm a journalist. I want to talk to. That's one of the things about Angelos and Bisciotti running and not living here. I mean, all these things that I've pimped for 32 years.
Bramble lives here.
No, but I'm saying, but for people who don't live here, who want the benefits of us living here and our tax dollars and $600 million for sports teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, for Bramble, I want to talk to him because I don't. People ask me about it, and I'm like, I don't feel like I know enough because I haven't asked enough questions. No. I've invited Eric Costello on, who's been out in front of it. I had Jeff Ratneau on a couple of weeks ago, who's a local developer and is a part of the Federal Hill Community Association, with all the questions about transportation and crime and, you know, how are we going to get home from work and what's it really going to, how long is this project going to be?
Whether you should be building a 32 and a 25-story apartment towers on Harbor Place. That's the catch for me.
Well, I invested in the Inner Harbor. I'm a unique cat, Dan. I bought a condo. So do the math on this. I bought a condo for $419,000 in 2003 and sold it for $380,000 in 2021. And I put $250,000 of improvements into it. So that was my math of owning a place and being a resident of that literal basin with that view from the 23rd floor. I had a beautiful life. We loved living there. We never really wanted to leave. We didn't have any outdoor space. And you know my wife. I mean, my wife fly fishing. We didn't have a garden. We didn't have a grill. We didn't have outdoor space. So after 20 years, we decided, all right, we're gonna move. We couldn't get rid of our place. We couldn't give it away for years. The plague was a part of that. Obviously what
pandemic.
Freddie Gray, all that that happened, right? But to think that they're going to put all of this residential down there, I keep asking the same question, and this will get us into the Maryland Stadium Authority fight, you and I. What's the idea? John Angelos wants all this money, and they're going to give the Ravens this money, and they're going to have improvements to this and bonds for that. At least Bramble has an idea. Like, at some point, I hope he sits with me. I hope he gives
the
whole
story. Well, I'll tell you what
he'll tell
you.
There is an idea.
I've interviewed him a couple times about this, and I'll tell you what he'll tell you is that downtown needs density. It needs residences, people living there, feet on the ground, and that's what he wants to accomplish. He doesn't feel like Harbor Place can be successful unless you have more residential space.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but do you agree right on Harbor Place? I mean, he owns his company, MCB, owns the old News American parking lot, which is now a parking lot. It used to be where the News American newspaper was printed at 300 Pratt Street, right across from Harbor Place. That's been sitting there for years waiting for someone to redevelop it. There was
It's a Shake Shack parking lot, basically, now, is what it is.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's the space between the hotel and the... It's right there, 300 East Pratt Street, across from the eastern edge of Harbor Place. I mean, his company has it. I said to him last week, I said, why don't you just Why don't you build your tower there? Why does the tower have to be on Harbor Place, which is public land? And I just say to people, I don't take for granted that it's public land. I don't say, oh, well, just go ahead and develop it. It's the last piece of open space down there. I'm saying it should be all open. But, you know, you're going from what's basically a pup tent, Harbor Place, to a permanent 32 and 25-story buildings on public land. And I think the city, people in the city have to think hard about that. We don't build apartment towers in Central Park. New York doesn't do that. Go to a lot of cities with waterfront property in Europe and the United States, and it's open. It's a, you know, the promenade is great, and it shouldn't all be open. There's got to be something to attract people there. Restaurants are a good idea. I like half of Bramble's plan. I personally don't like see the public land turned over to apartment towers. There's room for that elsewhere. There's office space downtown that needs to be converted to residence to get the density that Bramble's talking about.
My point would be, what are you going to do with all the rest of it? All the rest of those standing buildings that will never, ever be
those old
Acme
office
Insurance Company again. Like, literally.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's never going to be First National Bank or Provident Bank or old Maryland Bank.
MCB also has one East Pratt, which we think across, it's where the a lot of people know it as the old CMP phone company building.
That's where my wife got a start here in Baldwin. Yeah. She moved. She went for Verizon. Yeah.
Well, who knows what they could do there? I mean, there are other places to build.
That would be the Kona Grill building for people.
Yeah, exactly, the Kona. Right. So, you know, the idea that you could build a 44-story apartment building on the old News American lot and have 900 apartments just across from Harbor Place relieves this whole idea of the building towers on Harbor Place itself, right? And then as far as the Orioles go...
But what's the there? I mean, the harbor is the there.
It is. That's exactly it. The harbor is the there. I say to people, I hear people say, people need a reason to come downtown. I said, the harbor is...
They're
going to
swim in it next summer.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. I understand. I think we take for granted what an attraction that is. How lucky we are to have a waterfront.
Something there that we all want to use, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would say to David Bramble.
It's accessible to the public right now, right? I don't know. If you build big apartment buildings there, I don't know how accessible it feels.
All right, so the Tom Kelso thing. Tom's been under the weather. Yeah. I hope he joins me in Hollywood. If he hasn't, we've already done 2 hours.
On the Orioles.
I went to him and I purposely didn't try to read any of the hyperbole before I had him on. And I did the dummies, my questions, and I know more about it than almost anybody I've met because I've chronicled it for 30 years, parity clauses, what the numbers were. I've been on the rest. So I'm not like what John Angelos accused your former colleague Dan Connolly back on the Martin Luther King Day of, like, what could you possibly know as a journalist? John Angelos' head would spin because I know enough to sit here and talk all night about all of this, mass and money, you know, all the moving the A's, whether Nashville's real or not, the bonds that they gave to the Titans down there. So I know all of this stuff. I don't know Tom Kelso. Did the Zoom with me, and an hour and 15 minutes into it, I'm still asking questions. He's still answering. Everything added up for me. I got together with him again, and I said, I want you to come back on, and let's talk about this MOU, because we didn't talk enough about
Memorandum of Understanding.
What Wes Moore and the owner of the Orioles, wearing an Oriole jersey on the biggest night of the year, all did a papal wave. I congratulated the governor on a text. I don't congratulate
John. It was a stadium lease. We thought it was a 30-year lease. It wasn't. It was a memorandum of understanding.
It was a little bit of a duping at the behest of John Angelos. So leading into playoff tickets and all that.
Know.
But we don't have a deal, dude. It's December. There's no deal.
Yeah.
So Kelso was going to come back on, and I said to Tom, I said, look, we've done this and that and my questions. Let me sit back a little bit, and let's make a case for the public called Stadiums for Dummies. Because I think one of the issues is talking about this in 5-minute snippets and certainly 30-second sound bites on television is not the richness for what we're talking about, a giveaway to these billionaires for these stadiums that are already there. What's going to make it better other than winning 102 games or being 10-3?
Also,
and what's going to make it different if we give you $1 billion?
Yeah, $1.2 billion correct. Between the Orioles
well,
and the
Ravens.
Well,
it's going to be a billion each if John gets his way, right?
Yeah.
Because if Angelos gets his way...
The Ravens have to get their way.
Right, exactly.
And he wants the development rights and not... We had a story in the Sun the other day that looked like they're trying to separate a lease agreement from discussions and negotiations over developing the land around Camden Yards. So we've... You know, the public subsidy of the Orioles going back to 1988 is north of $1 billion. $1.8 billion, I think, is what we reported this week. We tallied it all up.
For a company that grew from $150 million to $2 billion under our watch.
Yeah, I know. It's
the amount of money the public has given them is basically the same amount of money that the asset has grown.
Right, I know, I get that. Yeah,
unbelievable thought.
Yeah, and then I think we all are living in this fear that we're going to lose them.
I'm not.
I don't buy it. It seems like a lot of trouble to go through for a team that probably won't be able to move because the commissioner says the Orioles will never leave Baltimore. They're looking to expand to 32 teams,
Well, Nashville
right?
doesn't have $600 million waiting for him. As a matter of fact, right. Nashville just went for county money, state money. The city of Nashville, somebody told me this in the legislature, somebody from the Eastern Shore mm-hmm. said to me, the city of Nashville bonded $800 million for that stadium. The city did that. The city bonded $800 million. Yeah. He said, I've never heard of a city. Like, that's unheard of, but they have a different purpose for that football team and that stadium there mm-hmm. because it's Nashville. They're trying to compete with Vegas.
Yeah.
So having Taylor Swift hang out there for 12 days, and they're the country music. They're
right.
going to use that stadium right. for concerts
but
and events.
Baseball. Right, but on baseball, you don't see them moving there.
Well, my point is they've already gone to the they're tapped out. They're stadiumed out.
Yeah.
So John Boy wants to move down there. Here, John, here's your AA stadium with 12,000 seats. Good luck with that. You put all of your family's money into building
right.
the stadium
Press.
As opposed to leaving something that's built and we're giving you $600 million. Like
MLB has stated that they're interested in expanding to 32 teams. So
sure.
if you're going to have an expansion, why would you let a team leave Baltimore?
Well, I was here 20 years ago with, I had Jesse the Body Ventura on the show when he was the governing body of Minnesota. Where they're not going to contract my Minnesota Twins. I remember when they were trying to downsize
the
baseball.
Yeah.
And then there's the part where the team's good and the team's relevant again, right? You're watching, I'm watching, people that... 5 years ago, if we were sitting together, we wouldn't be talking about we watched the Orioles this summer, where they lost 120
right.
games.
Right.
There is something about the mojo it has for the community and what we invest in sports and how much is enough and how much is too much and how much is gluttony and how much is just fat greed. And in this case, the notion that we could give the Angelos family the land and then they could sell the team and just keep and squat on the land
right.
is the biggest flim-flam there's ever been flim-flam.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't let the Stadium Authority develop it.
Well, they're trying to close the Stadium Authority.
Yeah, I know.
Which
that's
is at the heart
what Kelso
of it.
Says. I mean, he's probably right. You can't take an authority out of the Stadium Authority. So anyway, All right.
So you're not on Team Angelos in this or team. You're on Team Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I'd like to see the Orioles succeed, but I have a lot of questions about what's going on here.
Do you really think
Angelos
that legislators will go to Annapolis and say, this is it? We're not giving you this money and pound sand. Why wouldn't they say that?
Because
the Colts left 40 years ago?
Yeah, I think we're going to a lot of trouble and expense for something that's not going to happen out of a worry that something might happen. The way everybody sort of jumps on board here, although there are skeptics, Bill Ferguson, you know, saying, I want to see a stadium deal, the state senator. That's all good. The Senate president. That's good.
I want to see a plan if we're going to give you $400 million more in the land. Give me a plan.
When I see the governor doing this big whoop-whoop at the stadium with John Angelos, making it look like there's a stadium lease when it really isn't. There's a memorandum of understanding the next day it comes out. Or when I see him standing with David Bramble from day one in support of the Harbor Place plan, along with the mayor, I said, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe you should keep a little bit of a distance here. You know, Larry Hogan, the former governor, Mr. Businessman, right? Maybe a little bit of a distance here and just, look this over before you jump on board. That's what I would like to see from the official leadership of the city.
Well, that's what I'm doing, and that's what you're doing as residents, as taxpayers, as journalists.
Yeah.
As
asking questions. Yeah.
yeah, I'll yeah. get on board if I love it. Yeah. Sell me on it. You're yeah. salesman. Sell me, right? Yeah. And yeah. that's what I'm going to say to the governor, whom I like, who I voted for, who lives in this district. Odette yeah. Ramos will be here later on. We're going to talk. How are you on him? I mean, it's report cards for governors 10 months in. I don't... Yeah. You know, it's like report card for Brandon Scott. The report card's going to come next year when Sheila Dixon beats him in the primary, right? Like, the report card comes
to the
people.
You think Sheila Dixon's going to beat Brandon Scott
in the
primary?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't know.
You have no idea?
I have no idea. That's why I'm coming to the show.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know. The mayor's done some good things. There's some points in the city that people have been crying about for years. All of us have been upset about the rate of crime and violence here. That finally seems to be turning a corner, maybe. I don't know. I hope so. That's going to help the mayor.
We're all looking yeah. for answers on that term, yeah. right? I mean, yeah. whatever we're talking about at the harbor, whatever we're talking about at the baseball yeah. team.
You got to have public safety. People got to feel safe about coming
sure.
downtown again. Yeah, I still hear that from people that they don't feel safe down there. But remember, Harbor Place is not what it was. You know, the management that ran that place for the last 10, 15 years, it was awful, right? It was awful. And the place was just allowed to deteriorate. So people
kind of like the baseball team at various points.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, right. you know, okay. and they're building that back, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, all right, Dan. All right. Baltimore, you have no idea. It's his show. It's here at the BMA. I will be having some beverages before and after here at Gertrude's. We're going to have the crab cakes, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the... They are scented. They're not sniffers. This is the O Snaps. We're giving these away out here. Our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Tickets for your Valentine's Week show for the Baltimore Docket.
The second play, yeah.
Second play, not on sale yet, right?
Yeah, no, they're on sale. Yeah, yeah. Same website, youhavenoidea.org. Yeah, you can buy tickets for the February show.
Well, I'm late to the party. I better pick a night.
It's not until February.
Well, yeah. Here's your problem. Now, the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl on February.
I've taken that into account.
You know there's a parade. You've done all that. Are you a believer?
The parade will
You're
be during
Lamar
the week.
A believer?
We're not going to be in conflict with the Ravens.
Okay. Yeah.
I charted that out when we set the
So you're a
dates.
Believer. You planned this around the Ravens winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Ricard's going to score the winning touchdown.
Always a New England guy. There's got to be a New England angle here. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dan Rogers is here. He'll be telling stories about Rhode Island, as I remember in a story in your dad.
Yes, yeah. I grew up on the South Shore of Massachusetts, right near the Rhode Island line.
You could come hear the whole story. He tells it to Baltimore. You have no idea. Dan Rogers, my friend, my mentor.
Thank you.
My fishing coach. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Is that good?
That's
hey, by
good.
The way, hold on a second here. If you get off the cord, I have a gift for you.
Where before, are you going?
Hold on. Let me get offset. Entertain right. the people. Talk
okay.
to the people, Dan.
All right.
I have something
standing
in my bag.
By,
I have something in my bag for Dan. I have something in my bag for Dan.
Okay.
Here it is right here.
Here he comes.
Dan, tell everybody what it is and hold it up for the camera. Let everybody know what that is.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's a VHS edition of Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll with Eric Bogosian, who's the guy who kind of inspired me to do a one-man show with a cast of seven. Wow.
So I'm going to read this on here. Bogosian is a hilarious wit on a spare stage in front of a live audience, very similar to Baltimore, you have no idea.
Wow.
Eric Bogosian Talk Radio brings to life 10 astonishingly vivid male characters in their own self-contained single-character mind dramas, ranging from a smug English rock star to an unrepentant killer, from a bullying shark of an entertainment lawyer to a millionaire New Jersey suburbanite in love with his swimming pool.
Right.
And he actually did a whole thing on that character called Griller.
Right.
Right? Okay. Bogosian's vividly interesting personalities all revel in or suffer the effects of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That is great that you found that. Thank you very much. I even have a VHS player still at home somewhere.
Bogosian and his odd assortment of incarnations in this brutally funny, uniquely original tour of the dark side. He was so friggin' good.
He was very good. He did these characters' voices just...
This is gold. Gold,
from
Rogers.
Gold. Yeah, thank you very much, Ness. It's very thoughtful of you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was going to make like a joke about springtime. You know, like the place, but the producers. I was thinking
springtime for Hitler.
I was going to say You know, it's like his play, Baltimore. You have no idea, but sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I'm thinking like, who goes and sees a play called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll? I saw it at the Little Theater.
I saw him at Center Stage.
Center Stage, right? Yeah. A block away from the Sun.
Yeah.
I parked there.
Yeah.
Dan Rodericks, we are at Gertrude's in the BMA. We're back for more. Odette Ramos, our fantastic councilwoman's going to come by. We're going to talk about, of all things, community and vegan crab cakes. Stay with us.